Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
So we're 16 games into the season when we're doing this fifth episode of the podcast in season three. And the Leafs are 8-2-0 in the last 10 games.
Woohoo!
And we're 10-5-1 over the 16 games, which is good for second place in the Atlantic behind Florida. So that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say that's quite an improvement from before. So we want to celebrate that by talking about Tim Biebs. Yeah. We're sure most of our listeners have heard that Tim Hortons has partnered with Justin Bieber, his latest collab, to come up with some interesting new Timbit flavors. Actually, I think the commercials are quite hilarious.
Yeah.
We just want to put it out there. I'm just going to ask Chris, like, which one do you want to try first? Like, that there's three new flavors: chocolate white fudge, sour cream chocolate chip, or birthday cake waffle. Which one sounds good to you?
I don't like their birthday cake flavor, but
I don't either. But
that waffle end of it kind of sounds interesting. But overall, I think out of the three, I think it's the sour cream chocolate chip that I want to try. And
I have a feeling that one's going to be the one that really sells out, because that seemed to be the number one choice when I did like a quick survey of my family, and they all seem to be interested in one too, because they like the sour cream donut also. So sour cream chocolate chip was kind of right on their radar.
Yeah. Some of our listeners obviously probably know I'm a huge Tim's fan, so I'll definitely be trying these. And I wonder how much they're going to price them at. That's my thing.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if they'll be priced higher than regular Timbits.
Because they have a separate little box for them, according to the commercials that I've seen. They're like a Tim Biebs box, right? So I don't know.
So that's going to be exclusive.
Yes.
Just like the Drewware. So, should be interesting. Anyway, to our listeners out there, if you are interested in commenting on this and letting us know which flavor is kind of drawing your fancy, let us know.
Yeah.
So back
they're
to hockey.
Out.
What was
yeah,
that going?
No, they're coming out on November 29th.
Okay.
I saw it
at the Tim's. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Yes. So
anyway,
back to a hockey topic. We were the guests this weekend of the Hockey Time Machine at the Sports Card and Memorabilia Expo, which was held at the Toronto International Centre from November 11th to 14th. It was a really special day. We got to meet Maple Leaf great Bobby Bonn, which was such an honor. And we were interviewed live on the main stage, which was super exciting. Christine, what were some of the highlights for you?
Yeah, I just liked, it was our first time being up on stage somewhere to talk about the podcast. So that was huge. And, and just seeing the, like, Bobby Hull was there. And I think for both of us, a huge moment, even though we didn't go in line to meet him, was actually seeing Felix Potvin.
Mm-hmm.
Right. From that's our time basically as younger Leaf fans, right? Where it was a different era for us. And when the team really went far into the playoffs, and it was a great time to be a Leaf fan, and just to see him again, that was great too. And but to our listeners there, some of you may have already seen, but if you go on social media, we put some pictures on there all across on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Our handle's at LTL1917. You can check it out. Mm-hmm. But what did you take away from it too? Like, did you?
Well, first of all, the show is massive. I had no idea how big this show is. There's over 1,300 vendors at this show, and it's huge. So for us to be part of such a big event, I think it was super exciting. And for me, the highlight was meeting Bobby Bonn, and he was such a gentleman and so gracious. And I was just so floored that at his age, how he manages to still do these public appearances, be interviewed, do autographs, all day long, and he still has the energy for that, and he's still very, very with it. So it was pretty impressive to see.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? He is, like, you know, is no doubt that's why he's able to score that goal on the broken leg, because he's just got this crazy stamina. So, and he still has that even now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well. All right. So before we get into our show, we want to give a shout out to some of our listeners and followers on social media. First, a shout out to Keith Prescott, who is an admin of the Facebook page Toronto Maple Leafs Central. Keith gave us a boost with a comment to his members to give us a listen, and we are so thankful for that and thank him very much. So if for all of our listeners out there, if you're looking for a place to chat about your Leafs, check them out. They're a really great page.
Yeah, for sure. And also a shout out to a few listeners we have in Germany. We have a group of people there. We a few people that have been listening to us recently, and we want to thank you for that.
So still on the topic of listeners, we definitely want to hear from you. If you have any questions, comments about the Leafs that you want us to give our thoughts on, please DM us on social media or email us at ladiestalkinleafs@gmail.com, and we will do our best to get your comment on the show. So let's get into it then. First, we're going to start with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Then we're going to roll the Ladies Talkin' Leafs highlight reel, and we will end off with the third period where we talk about just some kind of topic that is of interest to either of us. So, without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
All right, the good, the bad, the ugly. And geez, it took me a long time to figure out going back and forth on what's good. Considering the Leafs' record being 2-0, you would
think that's definitely good.
But you would think that it would be a lot easier. But anyhow,
It's the wins have not come easily. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, yeah. But my good, and it's kind of funny because I couldn't remember him the last time, in our last episode, I couldn't remember this player when I asked Syl who was playing on the left side with Marner and JT, I guess. And it's Alexander Kerfoot is my good. So I was alerted, I guess, on Twitter. I saw a tweet to say that he actually has 10 points in 16 games, 5 points in his last 5 games, and none are on the power play. So that's like huge. He's all 5-on-5 because he doesn't get any power play time. And he gets moved around everywhere. It's true. Like he did have to play center for one game. I was trying to find which one it was, but I couldn't find it. And I think it was against Chicago that he had to play center. But most of the time he's on the wing. And I guess versus Buffalo, he ended up being on the third line with Kampf and Engvall. So he was moved off of the second line. So he gets shifted around everywhere. So considering all that, that's pretty good that he can consistently put up those numbers, those points. And a lot of people say, I guess we like to get rid of him basically for the $3.5 million that he's getting paid. But I don't know. I think he's been one of our more consistent players over the past little while. And he's definitely going through the through Sheldon Keefe's line blender. he seems to be. I'm calling it the November line blender as to all these.
That's a good name. Maybe we can trademark that.
Yeah. I'm just impressed with the. The points and that and none on the power play.
I have to agree with you, and he seemed to have really kind of picked up where he left off during the playoffs, where he basically really played that same role too, you know, like he just is, I guess the way I would describe him is as dependable. Like he is definitely, you know, we're thinking of who are they going to get to replace Hyman? Well, maybe he's Hyman's replacement in that sense, because Hyman was very dependable. Like, you could put him anywhere and he was going to make an impact. Yeah. So his impact isn't obviously the same, but the consistency and the stability that he offers to whatever line he plays on obviously is paying dividends, right?
Yeah, the only thing he doesn't have the same from the playoffs, I think, is, and that's, I think that's just about being in the playoffs, is the grit. I found like last year he was a little bit more grittier in the playoffs.
That's
true. That I think is being in the moment, like at that moment in the playoffs.
Yeah, and the thing is that if you're ramped up to that all season long,
you're not going
to
last.
Where are you going to be able to take your game? Right.
Yeah.
So I'm like totally fine with that. He's not like throwing himself all over the place like he might in the playoffs. Right. So, So definitely, I agree with you. Kerfoot has been a real stabilizing factor and has really, you know, he hasn't produced maybe on the scoreboard in as many goals or anything like that.
No.
But he
is
obviously adding to the scoring with his assist.
Yeah, the last 5 points were assists basically in the last five games. But hey, whatever, we'll take it. Can't complain.
Absolutely. Somebody's got to have the assist.
Yeah.
My good actually is I'm going to give some love to our power play. I think at one of our first episodes, we talked about how it wasn't going very well and we were kind of floating around the bottom half of the league at 26th. And right now we have moved up, tied for 6th in the league with our power play at 25%. So that's quite a jump over the last little while. And the number one point getters are Austin Matthews and Willie Nylander. Both of them have 3 goals, and Austin also has 2 helpers and Willie has 3, and John Tavares with 2 goals and 1 assist. So I'm kind of wondering if they were going to be missing Austin at the beginning. And I was thinking, no, some people are going to, you know, fill in. And that didn't really happen. And I guess it has made a difference, the fact that he's back for our power play. Also, they were experimenting with Marner in that bumper position. That didn't really work very well. The thing that I've noticed the most lately is how mobile they are. They're moving around a lot. And I think that is making it difficult for the opposition to really gear up and know what we're doing. Like they're moving their feet. And when it's not working, the thing I notice is that they stop moving their feet. So as long as they're moving their feet and they're skating, they seem to be doing really well. So, I'm pretty happy with that.
It's definitely been good. The one thing that I think that needs a little bit more improvement, it would be nice to get a few more shots from the point through and get some.
Oh, definitely.
Get some points from the defense.
Well, and then that's another threat that can become part of it, right?
Which doesn't make sense when they sat Sandin the other night, according to the reports. It was because he's a little bit banged up or something, but still, he's definitely having. If you're going to have, because Muzzin was the person on the point, basically, which I don't know, like to have Muzzin or Sandin, I'd probably prefer Sandin on the power play anyways for that particular instance. So going back with Austin Matthews, like you're saying, he actually scored his 50th career power play goal versus Boston. Mm-hmm. So he's the 17th player in Leafs history to do that, to get to that point of 50 career goals on the power play.
The accolades keep on coming for this guy.
Yeah.
Even he's not really doing the greatest. He's having a little bit of a slow start for him, that is.
Yeah. So. The other thing I think that can help us get better is the face-off win percentage could be better right now. It's like in the ozone, like when they start.
Yeah.
Right. They're 10th in the league at 58.4%. And that's from NHL.com. We got the stats. But
that's still pretty darn good. But that just goes to show you what kind of face-off men we have in the league right now.
Yes.
You know, when that is only good for 10th.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, so it's just so funny though. The power play gets going and then now we need to get the 5-on-5 production going. Yeah. It's kind of like nothing ever comes together at the same time.
No.
At least for this team anyways, for some reason, it just doesn't come all together.
I didn't mention Mitch Marner yet. He is not doing too shabby either. He's got 6 points. However, they are all assists. So he is still in a little bit of a drought as far as power play goals go. So hopefully he will be able to pop one of those in soon.
Yeah, but Mitch is a playmaker, right? We know
that.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, but, you know, people still harp on the fact that he doesn't score in power play. So
yeah, there's the Marner haters.
If he does that, then people can get off his back for that.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
So what's your bad, Chris?
So the bad is the goaltending situation. And I had some reservations with the picking up of Peter Mrazek. I mean, I loved his goalie masks to start. and his tribute.
But if you never get to see it, but you know, how good is that?
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. The management, Kyle Dubas and company, should have done a little bit more research because, in Detroit, when he was with Detroit, I just remember him being injured quite a bit. And just the injury history of that, of the guy. And now he's out again. He's only played, five periods or something?
Yeah.
And in total. And that's really putting a lot on Jack Campbell. And then on top of it, we gave him the 3-year deal too at $3.8 million.
Yep.
And that's really.
I think they're probably thinking that that's a decent enough situation in term that they could trade him, but you can't trade damaged goods, which is the issue.
Yeah. Now that he's injured, who's going to want even for the future, right? Even once he gets better and healthy, is anyone really going to want to take a chance on him? So, so now it's worrisome for Jack Campbell because he obviously has a knock on wood. He does not get injured, but he does have an injury history. And now he's basically a full-time starter. And he's even I heard him say in one of his interviews, he said that he was actually feeling a little bit tired and they are, they are managing him obviously with the practice time and that, but as to how much he's getting there, but still, I mean,
he's never done it before though. He's never carried this much of a load ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess a kind of bright spot, I suppose, it gave Joseph Woll, one of our homegrown drafted goaltending talents, a chance to play against Buffalo.
Well, and I think that honestly, I mean, it wasn't a spectacular debut for him, obviously, but I think they need to be getting this guy in just because they have to see what they have because they have to develop a goaltender. They have to.
Yeah. Well, he played pretty decent enough. He held them in there. I think again, I mean, this is going into my ugly, but it's before we get there, it's basically they started off slow. The team in front of him, you would think he's a 23-year-old goaltender going in for his first NHL game. I mean, you would think that they would have, I know it was back-to-back. They played Calgary the night before, but still, we're an experienced team, and I think they could have played a little bit better in front of him. They were up 4-2 in the third period, and they basically just thought they had it in the bag.
They decided to kind of back off. Yep.
Yeah.
That was a little bit their old MO showing its ugly face again.
The only thing with Woll, I was a little bit nervous in his play was when he was handling the puck. It looks like he likes to do that. But I don't know, in his first NHL game, if he should have been doing that much. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm like,
I don't know. I kind of feel like if you're going to be out there, you should be yourself. So if that's normally what you would do, then I think you should do that because then otherwise you're just too much in your head. And then maybe you would make a mistake backing off because you normally would do it. You know what I mean? So anyway.
But anyhow, so that's basically the goaltending situation. I mean, I hope Mrazek comes back healthy at some point so we can actually have a tandem.
Yeah. And he can play some games on a more consistent basis because we definitely need to spell Campbell a bit because, you know, we need him at the end of the season, you know, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's your bad?
My bad is Pierre Engvall. Enough said.
Enough said. Yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe if we harp on it enough, because like last time my bad was John Tavares, right? And he mm-hmm. seems to be.
Yeah, but I've been mentioning Engvall quite a bit and he's not really picking up on it on the vibe. So I don't know. I just wonder who is going to come out when Mikheyev's ready to come back, because that's not too far away. So is it going to be him? I don't know. Like, I can't think of a better person to take out than him personally.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Because he's
I
not
agree.
Really adding to me. He's not horrible, but he's not adding any value is what I see. It's like he's just not really he's just not being consistent. He doesn't seem to work hard the whole game. He's always the bearer of a bad penalty, giveaway or something that I tend to notice. So anyway, I don't want to have to say him again next time, put it that way.
Hopefully. All right. And then going into our ugly, we had a couple of them here. One of them I already mentioned, the slow starts. I mean, versus LA, especially, that was a brutal game. Mm-hmm. Calgary, again, we were pretty slow coming out. And then Buffalo on Saturday night. I just loved Sheldon Keefe's comments about after that LA game. It was just like, his word was perplexed.
That's a good word to use.
Yeah. So,
because I think all of us are a little perplexed that they keep doing that.
Yeah. And like Jack Campbell had to like make huge saves in the mm-hmm. games in Philadelphia and Calgary, like because they just didn't have it to start the game and they can't expect that all the time. And, yeah, so I don't know. Hopefully they can fix that and become more consistent. I mean, they're not going to have, obviously you're not going to have it every night. It's a long season, but this is the start of the season. They should be better than that and have their, like when it comes time to pucks drop, like just to be ready and mm-hmm. start, especially at home too.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Yeah. And then the other one was the lack of depth scoring, which kind of the last couple of games, it's been we've got some goals from our depth players. But but going into Saturday's game, they said it on the Hockey Night in Canada broadcast, our core four players being Matthews, Marner, Nylander and Tavares, they had scored 15 of the last 17 goals going into that game. Mm-hmm. So
that's a big percentage.
And that's not good. So we need more from the bottom six, definitely. Yep. Yeah.
Well, with that being said, that leads us nicely into our next segment, which is the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. So let's roll it.
All right. So the number three on the list of our highlight reel is Andre Kasha. Is it Kasha or Kasa? Kasa.
Anyways, no one really knows. It's a mystery.
Yes. Yeah. But he's been lighting it up, actually, the last little bit. He scored his first goal as a Leaf versus Philly, his 100th career point, and very worthy of being on our highlight reel. So he has a goal in each of his last three games. He scored in Philly. He scored the tying goal in Calgary or versus Calgary, and then he scored again versus the Sabres. So, yes,
and what does he get for his trouble? he's moved off the top line. He got gradually moved up, performed.
And now he's going back down.
And
again.
Now he's going back down.
Yeah.
So
it's the November line blender.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, he's this is how I remember him. Playing with with the Ducks, right? Like
that's
he's
exactly
a goal scorer.
What you said to me when we were watching. You texted me, "That's the cast I remember from Anaheim."
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean it is.
I love his celebrations too. Like he is like so enthusiastic. So I love that.
Yeah, but it is a little bit worrisome sometimes the way he's getting knocked around. But
yes. Yeah, but, he somehow gets himself in vulnerable positions. I don't know why. So I just hopefully he will not sustain any more head injuries. But yeah, he's
or any
been
type
pretty
of
impressive.
Injury,
but... Any type of injury, really, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he has been impressive and he's a hard worker. And I guess that's probably why they want to keep that third line together, because they work hard and they basically get the stops in the ozone, which is kind of what you want, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, most of the time that line, because it's defensively from they're starting off in the defensive zone, not in the ozone sort of thing. So that
but getting it up there and getting stops up there
for the offensive players. But then
hand it off to the other guys.
Hand it off to the other guys
doing all the scoring.
But, but anyhow, we'll see how it goes. We'll see if this would help. It would help if Engvall would pick it up a notch that way too, because he does have an offensive.
I know he's got a good shot too.
Yeah.
Like there's that one time, like he had like a pretty open net and he dished it instead of, oh God. And I think Keefe actually was losing his mind on the bench.
Yes, he was. Yeah, that's right. He threw his head back. Sheldon Keefe threw his head back like, oh God. He's like, what the hell are you doing?
But well, with Kasha, I think that at least they know that he can be moved up and down. And if there is a game where they're going and other guys that are farther up in the lineup aren't, then maybe the blender will come out again this month and he'll get moved up there for parts of a game at least.
Yeah.
So for number two, we have Jack Campbell. He's been huge for us, obviously, for the last couple of weeks. After the game versus the Flames, his save percentage is 9.39, and he's seen the second most shots in the league behind only Montreal's Jake Allen as of today, which is Monday, November 15th.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing, I guess another stat that I saw was courtesy SN Stats, Sportsnet Stats. With the win in Philly, it moved him to... Hang on a sec. I have to read my writing. It moved him into the top 30 in franchise wins for goalies.
Already?
So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, he had that big run last year where he, you know, broke all the records. So I suppose he's put together quite a few now. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and he's played 40 games for us, I guess. And his record is 28-8-4, and he has 4 shutouts. So that's
not too shabby.
Not too shabby, exactly. And we just want him to stay healthy.
That's right. So he needs to just really get lots of rest, meditate on, in between game days.
Yeah. All right. And number one on our highlight reel, even though he got benched the other night again, Buffalo, for the last few minutes of the game, is William Nylander. So I know we get it. The coach thinks and knows that Willie can be better, but we're looking at it over the past couple of weeks, and there's no doubt Willie has been a difference maker. 3 goals and 4 assists in the past 5 games, going back to the game versus Tampa. And 4 of his 7 goals have been game winners.
Yeah, including overtime winners.
Yeah.
Too.
So I don't really know how you bench a guy like that. But again,
those are definitely big impact, game breaking kind of goals. I think it's because he has to have a short leash with him. It's like the minute he sees him straying, he's going to yank that chain and put him back where he needs to be, because that is the only carrot that he has with him is his ice time. So basically, I just think that that's what it is. He has a really short leash. Willie probably knows that. That the minute Keith sees that he is straying from the work ethic that he should be displaying and straying from his consistency and kind of starting to float, he's going to pull him back and basically sit him down. Because he has to.
He doesn't do it like, let's just say Marner for the first little while. Like you could tell he was struggling and
yes,
he didn't.
But the difference is the caring. Because Marner is struggling because he cares too much. Willie starts to struggle because he starts caring not enough. They're just different players.
I don't know. But then you said that he has the mentality of a captain earlier too, right? Like this season,
I do. I do think so. But I mean, it's like we've said earlier, it's a long season and he still has his certain tendencies because Willie is Willie. So it's his basic personality, right?
Yeah.
So is Marner starts squeezing the stick too much, Willie starts kind of slacking a little. That's probably what it is. And we maybe don't notice it, but Keith is like right on it, I guess, with him.
Yeah.
He's had him for a long time. So he knows his tendencies.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's any surprise to Willie either, probably. He didn't seem upset after the game. He was still smiling on the bench, even though he was benched. When they won at the end.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway.
Yeah, but for us, he's number one. But talking about slacking, for me, the Maple Leaf organization is slacking when it comes. We're going to be going into the third period now, into our third period segment. I think they're slacking on not promoting enough of their history, basically. So November 12th, 1931 was the 90th anniversary of Maple Leaf Gardens on November 12th. And we put on our social media pages, we put some pictures there and just to make that, I guess, to make it notice, to remember that. And it was such an important.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was such an important place. But I know it's the Hall of Fame weekend and like you can't take away from that. Obviously, that's what this weekend is about. The people being inducted, the players and that and managers or but I just think they could have mentioned it somewhere on social media to say that it's the 90th anniversary. So many great memories were there. They won all their Stanley Cups there.
100%.
So
well, I agree with you on that because really Shanahan, when he first came in, what didn't he make like such a huge deal about, you know, celebrating the past and the players and all that Legends Row stuff? They install it and then crickets.
Yeah,
like
no, I know.
Nothing since.
Yeah.
So, and I know that there's been COVID and a lot of other things, distractions with that, but they've really dropped the ball when it comes to honoring the past, because that is, I think, a huge piece to get the, you know, and especially to get the players to buy into that too. Like it's, there's a significance to that. You know, I don't think they don't have to do that in Montreal because it's there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But what, since we're on the topic too, what's one of your favorite, things about the gardens, like or a moment or a place, like what?
Okay. Well, I mean, the building wasn't a beautiful building by any stretch, when you went inside. But I like the entrance, you know, when you like with the Maple Leaf Gardens sign outside, and I loved going up the elevators with all of those beautiful pictures of Leafs past all the way up to the top. I think those are some of my favorite things.
The escalator.
And I think that, going up
escalator.
The escalator.
Because I thought to myself, there were no elevators in there.
Oh, no elevators. I meant escalators. Sorry. Yes, that part. I mean, I think they tried to recreate that a little bit at Scotiabank Arena, but it's not really the same. And the thing is, too, is like Scotiabank Arena, formerly ACC, it's a dual purpose arena. So those thought memories, moments, they're shared with the Raptors, which is great. But Maple Leaf Gardens was just for hockey, and you felt that everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, my favorite was the standing room. I don't know if you get must have been. Yeah, the
that
best.
Was. I was gonna say that, but I had a feeling you might say that. I was gonna say that the accessibility, how accessible everything was in there.
Yeah, the standing room was just so close, being behind the Reds.
Yeah.
As opposed to being at the top of the building.
Yeah.
Now it's Scotiabank Arena. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I didn't like about the standing room was the glass was all scratched all the time. So you couldn't really, there was
hard to see through sometimes.
Sort of thing, right? But we made the best of it. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I thought was kind of cool was that we didn't sit there, but when I've had a few opportunities to sit in the blue section and in the corner, and there was this stairwell. It was like a little windy stairwell that you kind of had to duck too, like to, because otherwise you'd hit your head on the top to get up into the seating area. But that was kind of a cool little artistic thing about it, or in there, and the way it was built. I definitely think the Leafs could have done something on social media anyways to mention it. I didn't see it. I don't know. Maybe I missed it, but I didn't see anything.
It's just like, they moved out of their old house and now they've kind of forgotten they lived there, you know?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Really?
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. So going back to a bit of hockey here for the third period, another topic that I had was just this whole talk behind trading a defenseman. I just don't see how Kyle Dubas is thinking this, because it's like they have the extra defenseman. Originally it was Liljegren for most of the season so far, but now Liljegren has proven that he's played pretty well being on the third pairing with Sandin. It's they got that chemistry from the Marlies, which we've mentioned before. But I don't know. I just don't see, like, if you were going to trade Hall or Dermott, and from what I'm hearing, he's thinking of doing it as like just a draft pick, like not getting anything substantial.
It's like,
back.
I don't really get that.
Yeah.
Like, how does that help our team? I don't really see it.
Like, who are you going to bring up? I believe his first name is it's Christian Rubens from the Marlies. Like, how would you go into the playoffs with such, like, inexperience on the blue line?
What, like, they got let that Brandon Manel from Minnesota in the summer from free agency. Like, how come he's not like a thought, like, of someone that would come up? Like, why get a guy like that if you're, you know what I mean? Like, I just sometimes don't really understand the rationale with getting these guys for depth, but then you're never using them.
Yeah. And I just don't understand, though. Like, we really need the depth on D. It's not like our D is great, that's for sure. And
And
if we get one injury just in the, never mind the playoffs, in the regular season, we're screwed. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to give up a quality defense like Justin Hall and Travis Dermott that have games experience and basically get nothing in return, or go with somebody on the Marlies who has no NHL experience at all? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
It's kind of the only thing I can think of is that they want that pick so that they can make a move near the trade deadline to pick up somebody. But that's always kind of a gamble, because look what happened last year. We gave up a first rounder for Foligno, and that ended up being like nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I don't know. I'm hoping that this is more in media talk and it's not going to actually amount to anything. We'll see.
Hopefully we'll see, or at least get something back, like not just a draft pick. You got to get something back. Like, that's that can be useful, going into the playoffs, but
100%.
So going into the upcoming schedule, what do we got? We got games, home games versus the Predators, the Rangers, and the Penguins. And then it's a back-to-back, actually, on the weekend. That's going to be tough. Penguins and then the Islanders on the Sunday night.
Yes. And we were just checking out the schedule before we came on here and noticed that the New York Islanders haven't been home at all yet, I guess, getting their new building ready. This weekend is their first homestand. I guess they start against Calgary. They have a back-to-back also, but we get them on their second night in their new building. So hopefully we can hope there's maybe a letdown there, because really we'd like JT to get a win finally there. Put some of those demons behind him, I guess.
Well, that was my, I think that was the game where I said in the beginning of the season that wanted them to do something for JT. Because they haven't to this point. Like, to every time he goes back there, it ends up being like a crazy crowd and everything, and they would end up playing brutal. At least make it close, even, sort of thing, right? It's a back to back for both teams. So there's no excuse that way.
So their record's they're not doing that great though so far to start the year, but they're always a hard out anyways because they work hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
And did you hear Uncle Leo Komarov? I guess they waived him a couple of weeks ago, and now he's gone to the KHL.
Oh yeah.
He
can practice all his languages there.
Yeah. Yeah. So he wrote a nice little letter to the fans and everything there. So he's now going to be playing in the KHL. But yeah. And then it's kind of strange, after playing in New York on the island, then they go out west for a West Coast trip to, LA, San Jose, and Anaheim. Is there any, I mean, my game, I'm looking forward to that Islander game just to see how they do there. But going out west, I mean, you would hope that they would want to, actually, Anaheim has been playing really well too lately from what I was hearing.
The game that I'm looking forward to the most would be against the Rangers on Thursday. I'd like another showdown with Shesterkin, because he, you know, he goalied us the last time when we weren't starting all that well. So I'm kind of hoping that we find a way to solve him and do a little bit better against him this time around.
Yeah.
That's
true. That's something to definitely to look forward to. Hopefully we'll have a better, because we lost that last Rangers game, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So because he stood on his head pretty much.
Because he stood on his head. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we should have won. But anyhow, so we're getting close to the American Thanksgiving, which is the benchmark for NHL teams, because if your team is in a playoff spot in late November, the stats say that your team has a good chance to make the playoffs.
And obviously that's what we're all waiting for, is the playoffs. But there's still a lot of games to be played, and a lot can happen between now and the end of April. But you know what? At least it gives us hope if we're in that spot Thanksgiving, which is a little bit more than a week away now. So,
yeah. And happy Thanksgiving to all of our American listeners.
That's right.
We have quite
enjoy your turkey day.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so you can stay up to date on everything to do with the Leafs by following us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Our handle is @LTL1917.
And as usual, another way to connect with us is at Ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can also support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce this show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media platform pages.
Yeah. So as always, thank you to our healthcare workers and everything that they do. Thank you for listening, and please follow or subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite app. We're also up on YouTube, so check us out there.
Yes.
And
So stay safe and well, everybody, and we'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Go Leafs, go!
Go Leafs, go!